Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your love, your grace, your mercy in our lives, Lord. Father, we thank you that we get to be in your presence again today, Lord. I thank you so much for the gift of our family, Lord, for so many who give of their time and effort, Lord. We lift up those today who aren't feeling well, Lord. We ask for blessing upon them. Lord, we ask for blessing upon the children heading downstairs, Lord, that they would hear the gospel, that Lord, any children who don't know you yet, Lord, you would be planting seeds in their lives right now. You'd be speaking to them clearly. And for those who do know you, Lord, for the kids downstairs, Lord, we ask that they would just be encouraged in their faith. Lord, we pray that each one downstairs would eventually come to faith in you. And Lord, we pray as the church that we wouldn't just raise them up in the church, but Lord, we would raise them up in the truth of Christ Jesus. So, Father, we pray that same prayer for us upstairs here, Lord, as we continue on in this series, Lord. We ask for your blessing. We thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that your word would transform us little by little, that we would become more like you, piece by piece, little bit by little bit. Father, that we would see new areas of our lives that would be humbled and brought before you, and we'd experience freedom in Christ. Lord, bless this time. Use it for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're continuing in our series, The Acts of God, through his church. And as we do, guys, one of the things I want to encourage us in is we've been looking at, we spent 2 weeks looking at really this man being healed and how it affected the church, and as the church was starting out, what was going on. And today we're really looking at what is authentic Christianity, and what does it mean to be the church and to live with each other and to be involved in each other's lives. And we're going to see our first hiccup in the church today. We're going to see the first time where we see some major trouble just as the church is getting started. And if you remember, after the dramatic events at Pentecost and the healing of the lame man, the church right now is experiencing rapid growth. It's growing and growing. 3,000, 2,000, keeps growing by these big numbers. Do you think there's going to be challenges with church growth like that? You know, anytime, how does the joke go? If you ever find the perfect church, don't join because you'll just mess it up. Right? I mean, when we come as individuals, but we come with our own stuff, don't we? We come with our own baggage. We come with our own strengths and weaknesses. And so anytime you bring even a few in, there's going to be some challenges, let alone bringing great numbers in. And here we see some of the challenges we face. First, we're going to start out with some of the positives, and then we're going to hit some of the challenges coming up. So, starting in verse 32 of Acts 4, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Think about that for a minute, guys. Think about what that just said. All the believers were one in heart and mind. What does it mean to be one in heart and mind? It means to be unified, right? To experience unity. Coming from all different backgrounds and cultures. You know, they were going through what we have in this community. Many, many colors, cultures, experiences. Guys, we get to come and be one in Christ. And that is such good news. That doesn't happen apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In the flesh, we tend to say, me and mine. We tend to kind of organize ourselves by things that we find similar, or similar likes, or similar things that we understand and know. And yet in Christ, from all different backgrounds, we come together in unity and in love. And it's a beautiful thing. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything they had. Guys, that's authentic Christianity, where you get to share what you have, where you get to be involved. And that's not just of possessions, but that's lives. It's not just sharing what I have physically, but it's sharing what I'm going through. It's sharing real life. It's being willing to say, you know what, this is me. This is who I am. This is what I can offer, and this is where I need help. And for all of us, we all have areas in our lives where we need people to come alongside and help, where we need some encouragement, where we need people involved in our lives to bless. So we see here authentic Christianity, and later we're going to see counterfeit Christianity entering the early church. But this is such a beautiful picture of real Christianity. So how do we recognize, if this is real Christianity, how do we recognize the counterfeit Christianity? When Christianity is authentic, it starts with faith in Jesus Christ. Anything that starts in a place outside of faith in Jesus is on the wrong path, is on the wrong road, is not truth. I was on Vashon Island for many years, and there were only a couple churches on the island that preached from the Word of God. And the vast majority of the churches didn't use the Word of God. I remembered when a friend of mine was going to, I'd been talking to him, he was one of the pastors at one of the churches. And I remember talking to him, and he was really excited because he was going to finally use some scripture. And he did, and he came back the next time we met. He was so discouraged because he got in big trouble for using scripture in church. Seems impossible, doesn't it? But I just remember the defeat on his face, and we'd been talking about faith rather than just religion, and he'd been challenged and encouraged. And guys, there's a lot of stuff out there that poses, that shows itself as religious, and religion and faith are two very different things. And guys, I want us to be clear, our goal is faith in Jesus Christ. That's always our goal, and to grow in that relationship with him and relationship with each other. So when Christianity is authentic, it starts with freedom in Christ, with people from all different backgrounds, of all different cultures, all different ages, all different economic situations, and we find ourselves as brothers and sisters of Christ. And it means whole unity in the Holy Spirit, being together in Christ Jesus. And the early church had true fellowship, and true fellowship is a very powerful thing, and that's what we're going to see. Verse 33, with great power, I love how it starts there, with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Remember, what were they supposed to do? Remember a few weeks ago from last week and the week before? What were they supposed to do after they healed the guy and got busted for it? What did the leaders say? Don't teach in his name anymore. But see, when you have the Christ in you, you can't keep it quiet. And so it says, not only did they speak about it, but with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Let's think about that. No one had needs. Why? Because they're sharing their lives. Not just the physical needs. They're sharing their lives. They're being real with each other. From time to time, actually, before we get to that, I want to say this. As power in witness happens when fellowship is present. It says they spoke with great power. They're not only speaking with great power because of the apostles, but because of the unity that they have, because they're sharing their lives with each other. There's a power that not just the apostles have, but that the whole church has. And not just the apostles are speaking with words, but the whole church is speaking with how they love each other, how they treat each other. And that gives a weight. As what would happen in our community if they saw not only this church, but the other churches, the coming together and sharing and being in relationship. Wouldn't it be great if we knew our neighborhood churches well? We're working on it. We're trying to figure out how do we get connected more and more. One of the ways that we're working on it is through youth. and seeing, you know, is there somebody that could come up and that the different churches could kind of pull together and have somebody work with youth? And, you know, a lot of different small churches can't afford a youth pastor. So how could we maybe bring somebody in together? Pray for us on that. Because it's a way for us to not only experience the blessing of different churches coming together, but for the community to see God working through his people. And that these churches are not just about my kingdom, our church, but are about the kingdom of God. And anything that shares with the community, the kingdom of God is greater than these individual churches. It's us coming together in faith and serving and loving one another and working together. It's exciting, guys, when we see the power of people in Christ, even from different fellowships, coming together and ministering together. The apostles witnessed, but the whole church was involved in the ministry. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what made the great unleashing of God's power possible here. Continuing on, from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the feet of the apostles. Guys, this is the same Barnabas who later becomes Paul's missionary traveling companion. This is the same son of encouragement. This is a man who, using his gifts, his gifts of encouragement, is such a blessing. And he starts by what he has. He starts by giving some of his financial gifts. And I love what it says is, as time went on, as people had need, people would sell some of their property. It's not saying everybody gave all they had to this pool that was then evenly distributed. What it's saying is, as they saw needs. And guys, this church is amazing at meeting the needs of our church family and those in the community that we know. It is such a blessing to see you guys not only give through the church, which is a wonderful blessing, but seeing so many of you give outside of the church. And I want to encourage you, if the only place where you're finding yourself giving of your time, of your treasure, of your talents is in the church, I want to encourage you, be looking for opportunities outside the church too. Because this is one place where we come and join, but there's lots of opportunities in our spheres of influence for us to be involved in missions in our own backyard and even up to the ends of the earth. There's lots of missionaries. Guys, I want to encourage you, if you're not supporting a missionary, I want you to pray through seeking out. Is there a missionary that we know through the church? We're going to be, remember, the second Sunday of every month, we're going to be talking about different missionaries that this church supports, that we've been a part of for a long time. And I want you guys to be encouraged, to be really praying through that. How can I be involved in my own backyard? And how can I be involved to the ends of the earth? So it continues on. Let's start in verse 36 here. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, bought the money, and put it at the apostles' feet. Barnabas was the key in establishing Paul as an evangelist, but Barnabas was also an encourager of John Mark, who later goes on. He's a gifted man, and he's gifted at encouraging those around him. Then we see things change here, guys. So we have this example of this man who's encouraging, who's giving what he has. And one of the things I find interesting about Barnabas, do you know what his name was? Remember, the apostles called him. What does the scripture say? The apostles called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. You know what's great about him? He's not known by his name, Joseph. He's known by how he lives out his spiritual gifts. How cool would that be to be known by what God has gifted you in because you're so, it's so a part of who you are and how you live. How beautiful. I love that. We don't even remember Barnabas' name, his actual name, Joseph. Why? Because he got known for what he did, how he lived. That's who he was. That's who he was. One of the things I love about nicknames is Jesus would use nicknames. Like with Peter, when Peter was messing up, he'd say, "Hey, Peter." And when Peter was doing well, he'd say, "Hey, Rock." Not Dwayne Johnson, the Rock, but an older Rock. But, "Hey, Rock. On this rock, I will build my church." You know, he would bring him back to some of the things about what was important about how he was to live out his gift. And it's a beautiful thing. We've just seen some church experiences experiencing grace from God in the form of great love through spiritual gifts. And now we come to something very different. And it puts the church in peril. Everything's going well. People are giving. People are serving. And all these things are blessing the people. And then something happens which brings one of the first landmines into the church. We see it here in Acts 5, verse 1. And remember, just because there's a new chapter, it doesn't mean any time has passed. This is directly after the end of chapter 4. "Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property." Remember, Barnabas just sold it. It was good. It was a blessing. "And here, Ananias and his wife Sapphira also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Thanks, Ananias, for your very generous gift. It can really bless and help the church.'" Doesn't exactly say that, does it? No, it does not. You would think, man, here they gave, and they gave part of it to put it at the apostles' feet. "Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God.'" Guys, was there anything wrong with giving just part of the money to the church? There's not one piece that was wrong in giving part of the money. None of it was wrong. The part that was wrong, and we'll see it clarified in a few more verses here, was that they were dishonest when they did it. They were trying to look as though they gave all of it. They weren't being authentic. They weren't being real. As what does it mean to be mature in Christ? It means to be a real growing Christian. That can't happen, guys, if we're holding things back. Not just financially. If we're holding things that are causing us not to grow. If we're holding things in that we're embarrassed about. If there's things that's in our lives that, you know, I come and I come to church and I wear the nice clothes and I put the smile on my face and people say, "How are you doing?" And I get that fake smile and I plaster it up there and I say, "I'm doing just fine. Life is great." And the fake smile's there and the eyes are dead and the heart is empty. And guys, we can't get to a place of maturity in Christ if we're not being real. And that means humbling ourselves and being willing to say, "I'm struggling with this." Guys, it is maturity. Guys, hear this. If you hear nothing else, hear this. It is maturity that says, "I need help in prayer here." That's maturity. Because that is what leads to growing in our walks in Christ. If I'm not lying by stating something that's not true, but if I'm just by omission, if I'm not sharing something and I'm presenting myself as a result because I'm trying to keep at a safe distance. Guys, let me ask you this. Why do you think people try and keep at a safe distance and put up the masks? Why is it that we've done it ourselves in the past? We don't want to be judged. We don't want to be talked about. But what is it when we come together and we share everything we have, and there's unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, and there's growth? Now when we come together, we're not just sharing our finances, but we're sharing our time. We're being real. And now the areas that the enemy had in our lives, that he was just messing with us, now we get to put him on our home turf in the light. And we're on a home field advantage when we bring stuff out of the darkness and into the light. Guys, it's very hard to bring things into the light, especially the first time. One of the things that's great about growing in your faith is it gets easier to be more real. It gets, as you learn, you know what, when I share, man, I've got people who are praying for me. Now, Scripture does say, don't put your pearls before swine. You know what that's talking about? Don't share everything with everyone. Because a lot of people aren't spiritually mature enough to handle it. But in the church, how important is it to find people, man, that you can be real, that you've established a real, that you know each other. And through time, you've established, you know what? I can be real with this person. You've shared a little and it went well. You shared a little bit more and it went well again. Guys, if you shared a little and it didn't go well and you felt judged and the word went around, don't share there anymore. And don't share about that with other people. Don't create a bigger problem. Pray for that person. Talk with that person. Tell them what happened and how it hurt. And then there's a chance for renewed relationship. But it's so important that we share what we have. And here, Ananias and Sapphira, they're trying to present themselves as something that they're not. And what's the response? Peter has, he comes down hard, doesn't he? Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you've received for the land? See, God doesn't take disunity and dishonesty lightly. God doesn't take us not being a real loving family. God takes love seriously. Love is so important. And guys, when we're trying to make somebody look bad or feel bad, we're being unloving. And remember, what does it all hang on? What does all God's word, what does all God's truth come to? If it has to come to a pinpoint, what does it come on? What's the pinpoint? Do you remember what God's word says? All on love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, that's all of Scripture, hang on these two things. You want to be mature in Christ? Love well. Love well. Don't just know theology and be able to understand, you know, expand on the Trinity. And it's good to know things. It's good to study the Word of God. But we study the Word of God to what? To grow in our ability to love well. To know God, to be known by Him, to be exposed by the truth of His Word, so that we're humbled and broken before Him. And in that humility, we're honest before God, and then we find some people that we can share the burden with, not just financial burden, but share the burdens with, be real, and walk alongside each other. It's a beautiful thing when you have real friendship. You know, my wife, she's downstairs with the kids right now. She knows me more than anyone else in this room. She sees me when I'm not in my Sunday best preaching. She sees me this morning. Last night I was so tired, and I've been having trouble sleeping. And so at 6 o'clock last night, I thought, I might be getting sick. And I said, oh, no. And I got the chills. I never get cold, so I thought I might be getting sick. And went to bed at 6 o'clock in the morning. At night, excuse me, not in the morning. 6 o'clock at night. It was really a long sleep. 6 o'clock at night. And I woke up at like 4 this morning. So for me, that's unbelievably great sleep. But I woke up at 4. And so I went downstairs. I was getting stuff ready. I was looking over because on Sunday mornings, a big part of what I do is just, okay, got to cut the message. And because you prepare so much. And then you cut on Friday. And then you got to keep cutting as time goes on because new things come up and you're excited about them. And then you got to cut. And so I was kind of going over things in the morning. And I fell back asleep. And so my wife comes downstairs and the alarm on my phone's going off. It hasn't woken me up. I always do that just in case. And I'm just kind of sprawled out the couch with the everything. And she just looks at me and goes, it's like, what a peach. She sees the part of me that you don't see, you know, when I've got the drool coming down, when she sees the times where I'm selfish, where I'm rude to my family and I have to go back and apologize. She sees the times where with my kids, I'm so wanting to be obeyed that I'm not loving. She's seen the times where, how many times do we have to go back to our family and say, I'm so sorry. I know this, I love you, and yet I chose to be selfish. Please forgive me. Because I didn't live out what I know. Pray for me. Guys, that's being real. That's sharing what's really going on. And man, we need to consistently be real and find, guys, we need to find other guys. Wednesday nights is a great time to come to the Bible study. And one of the things I love is whoever's leading isn't the only one who's speaking. Because it's a time of sharing and being real and praying for each other and talking and communicate. It's a special thing. Same for the ladies on Tuesday nights. You know, just an opportunity to be known and to know others. Was there anything wrong with giving part of the money? No. It was the heart behind it. It was the heart, but they weren't being honest. Ananias and Sapphira acted like they gave it all, but they hadn't. They were lying. They weren't being real. When Ananias, verse 5, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Guys, we have three greats that have taken place in chapters 4 and 5. The great power of the healing of the lame man. The great grace of God as seen as he brings in and gives his gifts and shares with the body. And here we see great fear. Great fear. How would you feel if somebody who just gave a good portion of the money from their land, but they weren't honest about it, how would you feel if somebody here died literally right in front of you? Death is a scary thing. I don't know if you've ever been around death. One of the hardest things for me to get used to when we lived in Uganda was being surrounded by so much death. 6 years of carrying bodies of people, I didn't know that that was in the job description for a missionary. The hardest one was when I had to carry children who were dead. Little babies I had to carry. I remember that feeling of over and over being around death. And it's awful. It's ugly. It's final. And here we see people who were dishonest before God, and there's an amazing thing that happens. There's an amazing consequence, and it's not good. Guys, when we're not real with each other, when we're dishonest, when the moment we pretend to be something we're not, death enters in. It might not be a physical death, but we're bringing in the junk. We're bringing in to our lives. When we're not real about who we are, we're closing ourselves more and more off from other people. And we're getting more and more distant from the truth. We're getting more and more distant from those around us. And pretty soon we find ourselves caving more and more and alone and broken. And that's not what God wants for his people. And so he makes it very clear here. Guys, we're called to share and be real and share everything. Share the burdens. Share the burdens. Be real. Don't be fake. Live an authentic Christian life. 1 John 3:11 says, love one another. It says, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm, does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. It's the fulfilling. Christ is the fulfillment of the law, isn't he? The law spoke of the Messiah, the one to come, of the things that needed to be dealt with. Christ was the answer. He was the fulfillment, the answer to the law. He didn't come to get rid of the law by saying it's bad. He came to fulfill the law, to complete it, to give us life in him, eternal life, and freedom in that life, freedom to be free from sin and the junk that so easily entangles us. Guys, the world we're living in right now, it is so easy to be so caught up in sin. What's being told to us in our community right now, good is being told that, we're being told right now that good is evil and evil is good. We're hearing on the news and in TV shows and movies the exact opposite of truth. If you stand for loving Jesus and loving others, you're going to be mocked. You're going to be ridiculed at times. At times you'll be received, at times you won't be. There's a cost to following Christ. But even if there's a cost, we're called to love our neighbor. Are we only called to love the people that are easy to love? As we are a church family. A church family has a lot of similarities to a family. You know what's interesting about a family? Unless you adopt like we did, you don't get to choose who's in your family. But even if you adopt, you're surprised later on. Isaac and Thomas had certain personalities that when they were 3 and 4 absolutely switched. Thomas was the wild, crazy one. Isaac was the very quiet, and then Isaac became the vocal one, and Thomas became the kind, the quiet. I mean, just switch. Guys, in families, there's some people that are harder to love. How did your last holiday go at home? Was there any fireworks? Any situations that you're like, oh my goodness, we're back here again? You know, it's always funny to me when Whenever I'm here, I'm Pastor Matthew. Whenever I go home, I'm the youngest of three brothers. And I'm reminded very quickly, you're the youngest. Man. Families are tough, aren't they? Because, why? You're more real with your family than you are out there. So we're called to be more real, but not just in the challenging ways. We're called to be more real in the ways that bring life and healing and blessing. And that doesn't happen outside of being real and sharing what's going on. So that's what we're called. We're called to love one another. And then in honor of the son of encouragement, we're also called to encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Romans 1, 11 and 12, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. How beautiful is that? We need to encourage each other. We need to be on this journey together. Hebrews 10, 25, do not give up meeting together. Guys, this is scripture that goes against those who want to be bedside Baptists. Those who in the morning are like, it's pretty early to get up. It's a weekend, and I'll just be a bedside Baptist today. I'll worship God from my pillow. Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That's when Christ is returning. As we get to encourage and love each other. And it's what we do to obey God's command. It's what we do to honor God. It's what we do to be mature in Christ. I really hope that we're challenged with maybe rethinking what maturity in Christ is. Because it number one thing it's about is it's about loving God well and loving others well. Because we know the Word of God, we're growing in the Word of God. We're growing in our walk with Him. We're in prayer. And all those things impact us in such a way that we love God well and we love others well. Because in the flesh, I don't love well. Guys, we don't. In the flesh, we don't love well. We get selfish in our love. It becomes, what can they do for me? One of the things I ask people who are coming to me who are interested in getting married, I'll ask them, define love. One of the number one things I hear at the beginning of our time together is, well, she makes me feel real great. He makes me feel, I feel wonderful when I'm around him. And then as we go through, what love is and different things, love is sacrifice. Love is serving the other person when it's hard to serve them and you really don't want to. And you're tired and you're cranky and you're feeling a little selfish and you're feeling a little rude and you want it the way you want it. Love says, I'm going to put that other person first now. And it's hard every time, and sometimes you fail, and when you do, you come back and you ask for forgiveness. Because otherwise you sweep it under the rug, and what does God's word say? Don't let the sun go down on your anger. If we let it go down, what happens? It starts building up. The carpet gets pretty lumpy. You know how hard it is to walk on a lumpy carpet? Causes a lot of accidents in the home. You can't sweep it all under the rug. We got to deal with it. We got to be real. In our families, with husbands and wives, with friends, with coworkers, we've got to be real with the people in our church family. We got to share the burden. And guys, it's beautiful when we share. It's beautiful. If we love each other, if we encourage each other, man, what's going to happen? We're gonna see not only our families blessed and not only our church family blessed, but we're going to start seeing things different at our work. We're going to start seeing things different in our neighborhoods because we're going to be serving and loving well. Do you know your neighbors? We just had all this snow. Did you find any chance to get to spend time And I've had some incredible conversations with all my neighbors. Why? Well, between one of them, the fence broke because the tree dropped right on it. So we had to. God said, here you go. And it's been fun. I was yesterday, Julie was down in the yard. I was standing on top of the house, clearing off all the stuff that had gotten, all the tree branches that were on top of the house. Neighbor was on the other side of the fence, and we were all three talking, and it was wonderful. Making sure everybody's okay. Making sure everything's going on. You know, do you guys have any needs? How can we help do the fence together? What can we do to help? Finding ways to serve, to get out in community. When you gas, don't just use the machine. Go in. Talk to the person who's doing gas. Find ways to connect with people. Find ways to spend time talking with people. And you'll see God's love as you're doing it with the intention of praying first. And God, just give me an opportunity to share the love, whether it's in word or deed. I want to love well today. I want to love you well today. I want to love others around me well today. And that's maturity. That's maturity in Christ. And that's what we want to grow in, right? We want to grow in our faith. And it doesn't happen outside of love. All right. So we see here the very first hiccup in the church with Ananias and Sapphira. And what's the result of junk coming in? Fear. But God did not give us a spirit of fear. Guys, we don't have to live with a spirit of fear. In Christ, there's freedom. There's hope. There is blessing. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no need for us to be fearful, to feel condemned, to live in the junk of this world, to live in the lies of the enemy. We can be free in Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace, for your love, for your understanding, for your long-suffering. Lord, we thank you that you don't give up on us. You don't get disgusted with us and turn your back on us. Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon this church family, Lord. We thank you for what a wonderful, loving family it is, Lord. Lord, we've got a number of people who aren't here today, Lord. We ask for blessing upon them. Lord, for those who are struggling with health, Lord, we ask that you would lift them up and encourage them. Lord, for those who are struggling with discouragement, Lord, we pray for opportunities to encourage them. Lord, I just pray that we would seek to reach out those who aren't here today, those who are here, who we hear later that are in need. And Lord, that we would be faithful for praying for each other. Lord, thank you for this wonderful family. Thank you that they get what we're talking about today, that they're living out loving well. Lord, we pray that we would continue to grow in those areas. Lord, I pray that we would be more and more real with each other, and that we would have the kind of growth and maturity and relationships to where we could handle that kind of sharing. Because it brings freedom, Lord. It brings healing. And Lord, we pray that there would be no one here who would be living in the bondage of sin, living in the bondage of trying to be something that they're not, having the heart of Ananias and Sapphira, having that heart of trying to look spiritual when the heart's struggling and the heart's not changed. Lord, we pray for being real, for your love to be experienced in our lives, Lord. For your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.